It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Smith back to throw. Has time over the middle. Intercepted by Roll again. Antrell to the 20. Needs a block. Pinball down to the 5. Roll call time. Antrell with back-to-back picks.
Manning back to throw. Steps up. Deep ball down the middle of the field.
He's got Cruz. 35, 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants.
Romo drops straight back to throw. Steps up. Gets hit by Canty.
Pass intercepted by Jason Pierre-Paul. To the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Giants.
There goes Wilson again. Trying to break to the outside. Wilson cuts it back to his right. Needs a block, and Wilson's going to go. He's to the 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants. 97 yards.
Now, here's your host, John Schmelk.
And welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live. Paul Tatino sitting in for John Schmelk, live from the Timex Performance Center in East Rutherford, New Jersey, where the New York Football Giants are getting ready to prepare for the 2013 season. Our number to call is 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513. You can also hit us up at hashtag GiantsChat on your Twitter account, hashtag GiantsChat. Well, folks, the big day finally arrived yesterday. The Giants released their training camp schedule. And yes, you can go to Giants.com right now and cut it out, paste it on your refrigerator, paste it on the ceiling of your bedroom if you so choose. The bottom line is the Giants are ready to prepare for the 2013 season. They will have their physicals on Friday, July the 26th. And then on Saturday, July 27th, they will have their first training camp practice. And yes, folks, it will be open to the public, and it is free, right here at the Timex Performance Center. No more practices up in Albany. The Giants are back home this summer. Now, on Sunday, July 28th, it is autograph day here. Now, that's always a big day up in Albany. We expect it to be a big day here in East Rutherford as well, when the players will go down a gauntlet of fans. They'll be all lined up here around a barricade outside of practice. And following practice, which, by the way, is always going to be from 1:30 to 3:45 in the afternoon, many of those Giants, as they run the gauntlet of fans, will be there to sign your autographs. Once again, that's on Sunday, July 28th, autograph day here at Giants training camp. Now, for those of you who want to get out to training camp, once again, always look to Giants.com. The updated practice schedule will be right there along the right-hand side. You'll be able to click on the link and find out if the Giants are going to be working that day, not working that day. Of course, there's going to be built-in travel days for the two preseason road games that they have. There will also be two built-in off days before the preseason games they play here at MetLife Stadium. There'll also be a number of days where there are no practices at all. Why is that? Well, because sometimes these guys do need off, and besides, the new collective bargaining agreement with the labor union did have a lot to do with what the Giants are able to schedule in terms of practices during the summer camp. So in the meantime, once again, July 27th on Saturday is the Giants' first practice, and the final practice of training camp is on Wednesday, August the 21st, 1:30 to 3:45. It is the final practice of what is known as training camp. Now, of course, the preseason does continue for several weeks after that. In fact, the final preseason game is August the 29th, Thursday at New England. But as the Giants prepare for the Dallas Cowboys and their opener on September 8th, they do close practices because that becomes what is known as regular season preparation. It is no longer officially training camp once they finish that practice on Wednesday, August the 21st. So there you have the details on practice. Again, check in at Giants.com for your updated training camp schedule. Occasionally there'll be rain and the Giants will be forced to move it inside to the field house at the Performance Center and you won't be able to watch. And so that's why it's very important that you continue to click on the site and find out exactly what the Giants are doing each and every day. Once again, Paul Tatino with you. Our phone number is 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513. It's Big Blue Kickoff Live. We'll be here till at least 10:30, maybe take it longer to 10:45 or even longer than that. It depends on how you fans want to respond to today's question, which is, David Carr is the Giants' number two quarterback going into training camp. We all know they drafted Ryan Nassib out of Syracuse, but right now David Carr is the Giants' number two quarterback. Recently on NFL.com, They ranked the quarterbacks, the backup quarterbacks, not the starters. We all could talk about the starters all day. And, you know, we know Eli's in the top 10, probably in the top 5 in a good year. In fact, no doubt in the top 5 in a good year. But Mark Sessler of NFL.com ranked every one of the NFL's backup quarterbacks. He has David Carr ranked 21st in the league. That's right, number 21. It is my contention that David Carr is not only in the top 10 backup quarterbacks in the NFL. You could probably argue that he's in the top 5 or 6. But the story on NFL.com says he is number 21. Who is number 1 according to NFL.com? Kirk Cousins of the Washington Redskins. He of the very small resume. He of a couple of big backup performances with the Washington Redskins last season when they really needed him. Was he clutch? Absolutely. Could you call him the most clutch backup quarterback in the NFL right now? Yeah, I'll buy that. But to tell me he's the best backup quarterback in the NFL with such a limited resume? Sorry, I'm not buying it. Number 2 is Kyle Orton of the Dallas Cowboys. Now, Kyle Orton's had some success in this league, and I'll buy him as definitely one of the top 5 overall backups in the NFL. No problem for me there. Number 3, Chad Henne of the Jacksonville Jaguars. That's where it starts getting a little queasy for me. I'm not a big Chad Henne guy. Chase Daniel of the Kansas City Chiefs at number 4. Hello? Chase Daniel. Is anybody home? Should we knock on the door and ring the bell? Because there's just no justification for Chase Daniel whatsoever. Zero. Zero justification for Chase Daniel to be number 4. Kevin Cobb, number 5, he of the Buffalo Bills. The good news about Kevin Cobb is that he's been around for a while, and he started a bunch of games. But you know what? That's also bad news for Kevin Cobb, because he's terrible. And so, I don't get that either. And I'm only going to go one more deep to number 6, according to NFL.com. The number 6 backup quarterback in the league is the Philadelphia Eagles' Nick Foles, who, again, has a very, very limited resume. And so, according to NFL.com, the Cowboys, the Redskins, and the Philadelphia Eagles have 3 of the top 6 backup quarterbacks in the NFL, and the Giants have number 21, according to NFL.com. Well, I hate to tell Mr. Mark Sensler of NFL.com, an around-the-league writer, who I'm sure has done many, many stories over the years, and I'm sure he's probably very good at what he does, but this particular story doesn't hold much water. Because you know what? You could maybe argue for Kyle Orton. I'll give you that, perhaps. But David Carr is certainly not number 21, and he's certainly no worse than number 2 in the division. If you want to give me Kyle Orton ahead of him, okay, perhaps. But I'm not going any worse than number 2. And by the way, the best backup quarterback in the National Football League is Matt Hasselbeck. And it's not even close. The guy has started a Super Bowl. The guy has had multiple 3,000-yard seasons. Okay? It's not even close. Matt Hasselbeck is by far the best backup quarterback in the NFL. And he is number 8, according to this article on NFL.com. Folks, I'm going to give you a chance to chime in on this. 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513, or hit us up at hashtag Giants Chat. And as I sit here and I wonder what your responses are going to be, the one thing that I know for sure is that we're going to rock and roll for a while because the Tino's in the house. And when I'm in the house, I'm bringing the energy. And so I want to get to the calls first, and then we're going to hit up some Twitters. 201-939-4513. Dan, pop us up a phone call. Who do you got? AJ from Rochester. Hello, you are first on Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Hey, what's going on, Paul? How are you?
All right, how are you doing?
Pretty good, excited, looking forward to training camp coming up. You know, that's when we get to see some live action and get this season underway, you know what I mean?
I got you, baby. That's what it's all about. Got to come out to training camp. Got to watch, you know. Every year I always pick out that one undrafted rookie who I think is the dark horse to make the team. And I can't wait to be getting at it. It's going to be good. It's going to be real good, man. I do it every year. Sometimes I hit, sometimes I don't. But you got to come out and you got to look.
I hear you. Just wanted to comment on a question of the day. I think David Carr's skill sets will outplay most of those guys. I mean, he has a running asset. As far as the backup quarterback article was concerned, he has a running asset. He has a throwing asset to him. He has field smarts with all of his experience being a starter down in Houston. I think he was grossly, you know, underestimated in that particular poll or article or whatever you want to call it. But what that does point to is if there's good backup quarterbacks in Dallas, if there's good backup quarterbacks in Washington, and there's so-called good backup quarterbacks in Philly, in my opinion, and our backup quarterback is supposedly so bad, quote unquote, down the line. What does that tell you about the starter?
It tells you, according to NFL.com, he better not get hurt. Good news, because Eli is an Iron Man. You know what, AJ? Let me just say one thing to you. And I guess what the writer is thinking about is that David Carr hasn't played a whole lot. He's he's in his 30s now. And he's probably saying to himself, well, I remember how dreadful he was when he was with Carolina. I remember how dreadful he was when he was at Houston. And I don't think he's taken into account all of the intangibles and the big picture here. Because I happen to agree with you. David Carr has some athleticism. David Carr has some mobility in the pocket. If Eli should go down, there's no doubt that David Carr would at least be able to do a few things back there that would even help out the offensive line. I think he can throw the ball pretty well. I think he's incredibly accurate and smart. Now, maybe the long ball not so much, but certainly on the short to medium range balls, he can throw them pretty well. There's no doubt about his experience. And one other thing you have to have as a backup quarterback in this league, AJ, you got to have likable, personable people skills. Because when you're a backup quarterback in this league, A, you have to get along with everybody because, you know, you never know if you're going to be thrown in there, and you're going to have to be their leader. You can't be a leader while you're a backup quarterback because only the starter can be the leader. But you have to be likable enough that everybody gets along with you so that if you are called upon to be the leader for a short period of time, that they will like you enough that they will follow. It's a very important intangible. If you're a nasty guy or you're not likable or people are split in that locker room between you and the starter, trust me, that's not a good dynamic if suddenly you have to call plays in the huddle. David Carr qualifies in all of these things, especially those intangibles. And that is why it's clear to me he's not number 21.
I agree. I just think that if you need those good backup quarterbacks on those teams, quote unquote, then you don't have too much confidence in your starters.
Well, that's not a bad thought either, AJ. Hey, thanks so much for calling this morning.
Okay.
All right, you'll be good. Let's go to Timothy in Jackson, New Jersey, home of Great Adventure. How are you?
Fine. Thank you.
Good morning.
Good. Ryan has to compete with David Cobb to be Eli Manning's backup quarterback.
Well, yeah, as a matter of fact, there's no question that Ryan Nassib has potential to be not only a number two, but at some point the Giants hope he could be a number one in the National Football League. Right now, I think the Giants plan, if everything goes well and they don't need another position along the roster because somebody else gets hurt, I think they'd like to keep all three. That's really the plan. Now, is Nassib ready to be the number two? I don't think there's any way he's ready to be number two, at least going into training camp. Could that happen over the course of the season? Might he develop into a number two before December? Maybe, but I doubt it. I still think David Carr is the guy. And, again, I would argue with you that I think David Carr is one of the top five or six backups in the league. I think the Giants are fortunate to have him. I mean, look, let me ask you this question, folks, before you ponder where you think David Carr ranks. If Eli Manning were to get hurt against the Dallas Cowboys, something minor like a sprained ankle that would cost him 2 to 4 weeks, don't you think that David Carr gives the Giants at least a sporting chance to compete or beat Philadelphia or in Kansas City and Carolina and Denver? Don't you think so? Or is there really somebody else other than maybe Kyle Orton or maybe Matt Hasselbeck who you'd rather have in that spot if you had to win a couple of games over the course of a month? That's really what this question comes down to. 201-939-4513 or hashtag Giants Chat as we try to ponder where David Carr ranks among backup quarterbacks in the NFL. NFL.com says he is number 21. Saraceno says Carr is a great backup. Priceless how he can mimic another team's starter in practice. Knows the system. He will be number 2 this year. Well, again, I don't have much problem with that. I think it's pretty obvious. And Saraceno has his finger on that. No question. Carr is a great backup. Okay, let's go back to the calls. Gerson from California. Hello, you're next on Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Good morning, Paul.
Good morning.
Well, for this question, I would say Carr should be top 3, top 4 in the league.
Okay.
One thing with him and just him be familiar with their system, I think that makes a big difference. I understand the other quarterbacks have a bigger recipe, but they also have hopped around from team to different offenses like Manhassel has.
Well, Hasselbeck has the best resume of any backup quarterback currently in the league. I don't think anybody could question that. The only doubt you would have about him is what he has left in his tank. I still think he's good enough that he could start for some teams in this league. I'm telling you right now, David Carr and or Matt Hasselbeck could easily start for the Jets tomorrow.
Right. Well, Hasselbeck's number one, but I'm saying after that, every other quarterback has gone from team to team to team to team, different offenses.
Well, that's a lot of what happens. Carr's been with a few teams now, too. The Giants twice, San Francisco, Carolina, Houston. He's been around, too. I mean, that's the nature of what happens with a backup quarterback. Even years ago when the Giants had Jeff Hostetler, look what happened to him. He wound up with the Raiders and the Redskins. Kerry Collins bounced around a whole bunch of places. He was a starter, obviously, for a lot of his career, too. But when he became a backup, he bounced around. Don't hold that against anybody just because they bounced around a bit. I mean, heck, even Jeff Rutledge was a Ram for several years before the Giants got him. And, he was a backup here for several years. Don't hold that against a backup just because he's been on a few teams. That's not the criteria here.
Okay.
All right, thanks very much.
Can I ask a question, Paul?
Yeah, go ahead.
Linebacker?
Sure.
What's your thoughts on Paysinger? I know she would be competing with Jaquan Williams, but what's your thoughts on him?
I think Paysinger's a really good special teams player, and whether or not he's capable of holding down a spot in the standard defense remains to be seen. I know they really like his attitude. They really like his work ethic. They like his athleticism. But quite honestly, I haven't seen enough production out of him on a consistent basis, either in the preseason or in his limited cameo reps during the regular season, that makes me believe he could be a regular part of that rotation. He's what I would call, at this point, a show-me player as far as being part of the regular defense. I don't question his special teams, though, and he's got a great attitude, too. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Paul.
Appreciate the call. All right, quickly, we got a couple more Twitter comments here. Robert Weaver says, seriously, he holds a clipboard 90% of the time, so I guess he's not a big David Carr fan. VSoto-70 says, where does Carr rank? He says, ? I think he's got an exclamation point ? I don't know. Is he suggesting that maybe he's one? Maybe the exclamation point is supposed to be a one. I'm not sure, Vasily. I apologize for that. Let's take a look here. Matt Hefter says backup. Honestly, I think the guy is better than about 5 to 6 starting quarterbacks in the league. He could definitely be a starter somewhere. Talking about Carr, and I agree. Kyle Ritchie says dead last. Wow. He's got NFL.com's number 21 rating as being overrated. Don't see that one, Kyle. Vidal 28 says, who cares? That's why he's a backup. Well, when you're playing behind Eli Manning, who takes virtually every snap anyway, I guess that's a rather logical comment. Mark Turner, Turner 81, says David Carr and Ryan Nassib better than Mark Sanchez and Geno Smith. Okay. Wade Chisholm at WW Suplex says he doesn't rank. Well, again, he doesn't play, so maybe he really doesn't rank. Okay, again, speaking about David Carr. Hey, it's Don says he'd start on that other team we let use our stadium. And let's see, that's about it, I think, from what we got here from... yeah, that's it. All right, so let's go back to the phone calls. Coming up next, we've got Frank from New York City. You are next on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Thanks for calling, Frank.
Hey, Paul, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, I called up last week, and you, we were talking about the underrated Giants, and you brought up the point of who's doing these lists and what is the criteria and everything about the list. And I think the criteria for this list should be the situation the backup quarterback is in. How long has he been in with this team? How well does he know their system? And so on and so forth. And I think you bring up a great point before saying that, you know what, God forbid if Eli does go down 2 to 4 weeks, I'm pretty confident that Carr could come in, manage a game, and make us be competitive and hopefully win those games. If you look at that list, it was completely absurd. He had Tebow above Carr, and I definitely wouldn't want Tebow as my backup quarterback. So I think Carr needs to be up there around top 5, top 10 at least, because he's been with us for a while, and I think he can manage a game and get us a couple of wins if we need him.
Frank, it was hysterical when I saw Tebow rated number 17 on the list of the NFL's backup quarterbacks, again, according to NFL.com. And, yeah, I know that Tebow had that winning streak with the Broncos a few years ago, but you can't disregard it. But at the same time, you know, if you broke down those games, you would find out that he was a very, 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 very lucky and fortunate player, because a lot of circumstances and defensive special teams plays and snaps all worked into that. He didn't do a whole lot to win those games by himself.
No, absolutely. It was pure, you know, he rode a hot streak, and it was great to watch it as a fan. But all those guys that were on those lists, they're all on their third or fourth team in 4 years. I think Cobb was up there. Castle was even up there. I mean, I want a guy knowing that if I want my backup basically ready to go if my starter goes down. And I want a guy that's been with my team for a number of years and ultimately knows the playbook and knows the players. I mean, he's in there practicing. He's throwing to Cruz. He's throwing to Nix. He's handing the ball off to Wilson. He knows these guys, and he's familiar with them. So I think that's what the criteria should be for this list, is not name-wise. Yeah, David Carr isn't a big name anymore. He was a first, I think, what was he? He was first overall
yeah,
that year.
Yeah, he sure was.
And he's a bust as far as that. But you know what? I'll take David Carr over my backup, probably over every one of those plays, except for, like you said, Matt Hasselbeck.
All right, Frank, thanks for the call.
Thanks, Paul.
All right. Before we get to the other caller, I do think that Frank makes a good point. Criteria is really the key whenever you do any of these opinion questions. And for me, the most underrated Giant of all time, when we talked about that last week, you know, it's not about necessarily who the fans underrated or who the players underrated or who the coaches underrated or who the experts underrated. I guess for me, the question about who's the most underrated and why I could not agree, like when Ali said Carl Banks, I couldn't agree with that because the guy's on the all-decade team of the NFL as an outside linebacker in the 80s. Automatically, that says he's rated. You know, he's drawn respect. I think that when you talk about underrated, you talk about guys who never make their way into the conversation, whether they be on a talk show or in a newspaper article or a magazine article, a bar stool. For whatever reason, they never seem to make their way into the conversation. I think that's how a guy gets, quote, underrated. And if he's on an all-pro team, or if he's on an all-decade team, if he's on some type of all-something team, chances are he's in the conversation. So I don't think he can be underrated, you see? And that's why, for me, Joe Morrison, easily. I mean, the guy played five positions in the National Football League, you know, for a very long time. And yeah, I'm sorry. He's the guy. As far as this question, any backup quarterback in the league who's forced to play 16 games, if your starter gets hurt and he's out for the season, you're doomed. That's the way it is in the National Football League these days. This is not 30 years ago where your backup could actually come in and, hey, you remember when Earl Morrow had to come in for Bob Greasy for the 72 Dolphins and they still wound up going undefeated? You know, that's not the way it is anymore in this league. If your starter goes down, your season's pretty much shot. Okay? Now, the question really becomes, if your starter goes down for 2 to 4 weeks, who do you want as your number two who's going to be able to come in and hold the fort and maybe win you a couple games so that you go 2-2 and you don't lose any ground? That's really what this question comes down to. Because if that backup's got to play 10 games, guess what? You're getting a high draft pick. Case closed. Okay, let's go back to the calls. Jason from Montana, you're next on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Hi, Jason.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
Oh, good to be with you. I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. Hey, I'm looking over this list, too, and, you know, I would say definitely Carr would fall in the top 10. I mean, you know, definitely a quarterback with some starting experience is definitely going to be better than some quarterback that only has a few starts in his career. But, you know, getting to the point, you know, I like David Carr. I was real excited that we have him as a backup. And, yes, he's a great, you know, a good person. And he's he definitely has a handle, you know, a knowledge of the offense. And he's a great helper on Eli, making recommendations and stuff. But, you know, like last preseason's experience that I saw of him, you know, I wasn't all that, you know, pleased or like excited if you know, so I wouldn't be excited, but you know, confident if Eli went down that, you know, that he would win some games for us.
Oh, wait a second. No, come on, Jason, I gotta call timeout on you. David Carr had a very strong preseason last year. In fact, one of the strongest that I've ever seen him have. I thought he played very well. Did you see the game against Jacksonville? For example?
Threw
a couple of nice touchdown passes to Isaiah Standback and also Martellus Bennett. I mean, you know?
Yeah.
Look good.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, he's been in the league for a long time. So, yes, he's, you know, he is that. And, you know, maybe, I think that game, I remember that game. He did look really good in that game.
And scrambled twice, I think, for first downs, too. Carr was very sharp that night. Looked really good.
Right. I guess the point of what I'm saying is that, you know, NASA, they did move up in the draft for him. And I'm just thinking if it comes down to them needing to cut a quarterback, I think they should go with NASA. Even though he's a rookie, Coughlin doesn't trust rookies. They have to gain his trust. But still, we moved up to get him. Hopefully he'll do well this preseason. And like I said, if it came down to it, I would take Nassib.
I understand it. At some point, certainly the Giants hope that Nassib is good enough to be a solid number two. I just don't see them doing that right now because, quite frankly, Jason, I believe the Giants are built to try to make a playoff run this season. And I don't know that you could trust Nassib to get that done for this team, even over a short period of time, should they need him. But I appreciate the phone call. Thank you so much.
All right,
Charlie in Portland, Maine, you are next on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Good morning, Charlie.
Hey, good morning, Paul.
Hi.
Hey, how are you doing? Hey, I think there was one thing that you said. You said that if the starting quarterback went down, the team is doomed for the season. I think you might be wrong with the Jets. I think if Sanchez went down, they might actually do better.
Oh, boy. We're going to leave that one alone. We'll put a big LOL apostrophe on that one, okay?
Okay. And my take is I think the Giants are only going to carry two quarterbacks on the roster.
You do?
I don't think they're going to do three. I think if Ryan gets a hangnail, he's on IR. You know, unless he, in the preseason, he shows he's totally commanding the offense. He has a great preseason, then he'll be number two. But I don't think they're going to carry three quarterbacks. Coughlin never has, and I still don't think he will. And we'll give Ryan a chance to sit, watch, and learn, and unless he really does a spectacular in the preseason.
Well, here's the thing. I agree with you. I don't think Coughlin wants to keep three, but I think in this particular situation, that is the goal if they can make the numbers work, and it's going to be tough, especially if they have a bunch of guys who are questionable with injuries. And I'll say this other thing. If they were to put Nassib on IR, and I know what you're talking about, when you redshirt a rookie on IR, you give him a little bit of an injury, and then, okay, fine, you stash him for a year. The problem with that is he can't practice. When a guy is on IR, he's not allowed to practice with the team for the season. And that really becomes a lost season then for Nassib, because then what do you know about him come next April that you couldn't find out during the course of the year because he couldn't practice? And that hurts his development, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but if you play him a lot in preseason and he gets a chance to play a lot in those four games, and he shows you that, you know, he's got grasp of the offense, but he doesn't have enough to rely on him for the number two starter. He's already got, he's already had the whole training camp. He's already had preseason. You know what he's going to do. You know, you don't really need to have him practice every day, I don't think. I think you need to have him sit, watch, learn, read, listen, see what Eli's doing, be on the sideline, and pick it up. I think, keeping three quarterbacks would be wasting a spot, and they've got too many good players in the key positions that they're going to need to keep an extra person, like a defensive tackle. They've got so many good tackles, they might need to keep an extra one, or a defensive end, or even a cornerback,
Charlie,
for special teams.
This is a problem that has kept me up for the last 3 months. Seriously, I've been thinking about this very thing for many, many, many a month now. And it's a problem. It is a very, very big problem. Yeah. I thank you for your call, Charlie. We're going to see how it all sorts out. Let's go back to the Giants chat. And GC Carboy says, we should thank the football guards. We have Carr and Nassib. Always thought Carr's first years here, he was a gun shy regarding the rush, partly because he was killed with Houston. Last year, not so. And again, I agree. I think David Carr had a sensational preseason last year. And had the Giants been forced to throw him in there for a game or two, I think they would have been okay. Let's see. Allie says, going to be so tough to keep three. Too many other options in other parts of the field. Practice team. So she's thinking practice squad for Nassib. Allie, the only thing about that is that you've got to waive the guy before you can sneak him onto the practice squad. And the question remains as to what other teams around the league thought about him. Should the Giants try to sneak him through, there is certainly a chance, as we sit here today, that he gets scapped up. And then the Giants drafted a fourth-round quarterback out of Syracuse for absolutely no reason at all, because they'd have nothing to show for it. So this is going to be a very, very difficult problem as we move forward. Maybe it's all going to sort itself out. Maybe Nassib will get hurt during training camp. Maybe Eli or David Carr will get hurt during training camp. And then the Giants won't have any decisions to make. They're going to know what's going to have to happen because it's going to be spelled out in front of them. Anyway, Allie, thanks for getting up out there in California to listen to Big Blue Kickoff Live. 201-939-4513. Paul Dottino with you. Shakes in Baltimore. You're next on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Hi, Shakes.
Hey, what's up, Paul?
Speak to me.
Now, you said that, this is a problem. It's a problem that you want to have, though. You want to have this problem that you have a lot of people, and a lot of players in a lot of positions.
Yeah, but shakes. I'm Italian. Problems give me agita. I don't like problems.
Hey, we got to find out who's going to stick. You don't know. Now say we went in Ben at defensive tackle, maybe, picked up two or three guys. And then two or three guys get hurt in preseason, and then we screwed again. You see what I'm getting at?
I got you.
See what I'm getting at? Jerry Reese did a great job. You load him up, and whoever sticks, sticks, and let's go play football.
I like Tom Coughlin tells you all the time, it's about competition. Tom Coughlin will not just give away snaps or roster spots for free.
You got to earn it. That's why he won two Super Bowls. That's why.
There you go.
That's why he won two Super Bowls. But I'm going to answer this. I think David – and we're going to carry three. And David Carr is he's very underrated according to that NFL.com thing. I don't even know what they base it on. Because if you base it on what I base it on, and I base on backup quarterbacks on trust. I mean, if my starter goes down and I can be able to trust you to hold down the fort for 2 to 3 games, then you're a top backup quarterback. I can't say that with Kirk Cousins. I can't say that with Cobb. I can't say that with a lot of people. Matt Hasselbeck, yes, you are right about Hasselbeck. He may be the best backup quarterback in the league. Because you can trust him. You can trust him to come in the game and get the job done. All these other cats, we have not seen too much of them. We've seen a couple games from Kirk Cousins, and he looks all right. But otherwise than that, we have nothing to base anything on. We have stuff to base on Carr because he has started in Houston, and he took a beating. And I mean a beating that nobody has ever took before in the NFL. And he's still ticking, and he's still doing his thing. And we got to praise Carr, man. Hands clap for a round of applause for David Carr.
There you go. All right, Shakes. Yeah. We'll talk to you again. Hey, look, I'm going to be here the rest of the week. I got three more shows to go. I expect to hear from you.
Oh, yeah. You know you're going to hear from me. What's tomorrow's show?
Oh, we haven't discussed the topic yet, but listen up, and we'll be there for you. Be good, Shakes.
Do the wide receivers or the tight end?
Now Shakes wants to be program director. We'll catch you soon, my friend. Lawrence from go ahead. Thanks, Shakes. Lawrence from Florida. Hey, before Lawrence, we're going to get you 1 second. I just want to read this. Terry Tower says, I'd rather have Jared Fat Cat Lorenzen. Oh, my goodness. That is not a good thing, especially for the folks in the kitchen. Lawrence from Florida, you're next on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Hi.
Hi, Pete. It's good to have you back.
Thanks, brother.
I just want to ask you a question. This ex-Giant was probably the greatest backup quarterback of all time, since we're talking about backup quarterbacks. Who do you have for the greatest backup quarterback of all time?
Well, you know, it's very difficult to go against Earl Morrow because
Earl Morrow from Michigan State.
He did it for a number of different teams, won a lot of games, won a lot of key games for a lot of different teams. You know, it'd be hard to argue against him. However, that's the answer. You know, it's a good answer. The Dallas Cowboys, when Craig Morton was a backup to Staubach, you could certainly put him in that mix, although as a starter with the Giants, he was horrible. Then he was pretty good as a starter with Denver. But he would be a guy you'd probably want to mention in that conversation. Don Strock from the Dolphins is probably a pretty decent backup over the course of the years. You know, there are a bunch of guys you could talk about in that conversation, but I'm going to Morrow.
Earl Morrow, because the big thing is everyone forgets the 1 year when the Dolphins were undefeated.
Right.
Earl Morrow was the quarterback for most of that season.
Yes, he was, because Greasy went down. And so, you know.
Yeah, we forget about that.
Yeah, but you know what? Unfortunately, my friend, you got a lot of people who think that the world began with Twitter, and the world began with the Internet, and the world began with ESPN. They're not like you and me. They don't go back into the 60s and the 70s.
That's why I call up, because I don't want people to forget about the. You know, usually, like, I remember that I called up a few weeks ago with the Sam Huff question, who they trade for, and last week. I had the Pete Athos. And I don't want people to forget about the older. That's why a lot of these new athletes, let's face it, they're faster, they're bigger, they're probably better. But I don't want the people to forget about the older people, you know, that started, that were there first. And Earl Morrow was also the backup that year when the Jets played that Baltimore team that was a great team. He was the quarterback that year most of the for the Baltimore Colts that season. When Johnny Unitas went down,
Earl Morrow.
People forget about
Earl
that.
Earl Morrow has a very, very respectable resume. And, in fact, I may also add to you, I've met him. I've talked to him. He's a heck of a good guy, too. And I'm glad you brought that name up. And, you know, also, Lawrence, that's why last week when I insisted that Joe Morrison's the most underrated Giant of all time, I wasn't going to budge. Because old-timers like you and me understand what that's about.
And I just want to, if you remember, there's other backup the Giants used to have on the team. He's another one everyone forgot about. But he's probably the worst backup of all time. Is Ralph Kiwami from Notre Dame. Remember him?
Yeah, unfortunately, I do.
But you know, the year is 63.
But you know what? They've had some other bad backups, too, like Jim Delgazzo and Carl Summerall and Randy Dean. They've had their share of guys who kind of flopped.
But Ralph Kiwami, remember Ralph Kiwami, the year that in 63 season, the Giants were killing everybody. Y.A. Tittle had missed a game. And Ralph Kiwami came in. The Giants got killed, I think it was by Pittsburgh, like 32-3 or something. And that Monday, the Giants got rid of him.
I understand. Be good,
but
my
anyway,
friend.
All right, Pete Dot.
You got
it's
it,
good talking to you.
All right.
Real fan. All right, bye.
Appreciate it very much, Lawrence. Earl from California, you are next on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Good morning, Earl.
Hey, what's up, Paul?
Hey, I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing all right.
All right.
You just talking about the backup situation. I thought I just thought about a little bit of NFL history, and I hear everyone talking about, well, you know, you don't know about this guy, you don't know about that guy, but no one knew about Tom Brady when he came in.
Well, I mean, look.
And he took over.
I understand that an unknown quantity is an unknown quantity, but if you're asking the question right now about who's the best backup quarterback in the NFL, that says to me, like as I said to you before, the criteria has to be, if you need him to play from 2 to 4 weeks, do you have confidence that he's going to give you a chance to hold the fort? And you can't tell me that about somebody who has such a limited resume, somebody who's barely played. You can't tell me that. Maybe you can after they've been in the league a while. Maybe you can after they've played some games. But, you know, the body of work of Kirk Cousins is not enough for me to feel like he could do the job. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree. But, I think David Carr is pretty good. Even though he is playing against, you know, second string and third string against, you know, in preseason. So
sure.
That's why he looks pretty good. But he was a first overall draft pick, and he was, you know, he did get beat up a lot. And I think everybody knows that he got beat up in at the Texans. But
You know, you mentioned the Texans. 76 sacks he took that year. It was an NFL record that still stands today. And don't ever think that that didn't impact his career, because it did. He'll tell you. He knows.
Yeah, it shell shocked him. It's
darn
a totally
straight.
Different when you get hit. Wait, I wonder how many times. You got to do the math, but I wonder how many times every time, like, how many games he got hit in every game and was a sack. That's got to be kind of devastating for your pride and your career a little bit.
It did a lot to short circuit his career, and he is thrilled to be with a winning team like the Giants, to be part of this organization, and to be working with a guy like Eli Manning, who he respects and gets along with so well. And that's one of the reasons why he came back after 1 year in San Francisco. He went out to San Francisco with the promise that they were going to be a chance to start. And what happened? They didn't do it. He goes out there, and they give him a bad deal. Alex Smith winds up becoming the guy. Carr never really gets a shot to win the job. And he's like, I'm out of here. As soon as that year was over, he couldn't wait to come back to the Giants. Anyway, Earl, thank you so much for the call. We're going to keep the calls coming. Dave in Rochester, you are next on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Hello.
Bobby, good morning.
Good morning, Dave.
And this is a question. Was Joe Pisarcik back in the day, was he a backup or a starter?
No, he started. He started.
He did start.
And he was not very good.
I see. Well, he's got the legendary the Eagles game, right?
Among others, yes.
Yes. But I agree with you about David Carr. It looks like his years with the Giants, he's only thrown for about 400 yards he's got with the Giants since his tenure. And I totally agree with you. He's one of the betters. But are you and going back to criteria, I think that what might put him in the top 10 is his off-the-field contributions appear, sounds like, coming from you guys, a little bit more than other backups around the league. I just want to see if you agree or disagree with that.
Well, as I said earlier in the program, Dave, what it comes down to is, as a backup quarterback, You have to be able to get along with everybody. You have to be able to avoid a split locker room, to avoid controversy. How many times have you heard that great story about the favorite in the, or the fan's favorite or the locker room favorite is the number two quarterback because he's not the starter and everybody wants to give the number two quarterback a shot because they think he might do better? You know, that tends to happen a lot with the Jets. But here's the thing. David Carr stays away from all of that. He's just a really good, fun-loving, all-American guy, has a good family, clean-cut fella, you know, understands what his place is on this team, gets along with Eli, supports Eli every chance he gets. David Carr is a very likable guy who, if he ever gets a chance to play in a regular season game because Eli should have to miss one, that entire huddle is going to rally around him and say, hey, Dave, good for you, you get a chance to play. We're going to do everything we can to help you succeed. There's not going to be any backbiting or nitpicking or bad feelings or jealousy or you know, oh, this guy wants to take Eli's job or, oh, we, you know, we just want him to win because we don't want Eli to come back. None of that stuff's going to happen. It's going to be one big happy family, and that's what you want from your backup quarterback.
I see. So it is, to answer my question a little bit off the field.
It's got to be part of it. It's got to be part of it, sure.
All right. Thanks, brother. I'll talk to you.
Appreciate it. Len from Columbia, Maryland. You are next on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Good morning, Len.
Good morning, Paul. How you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
Good, good, good. In 1962, I tried to boo Ralph Guglielmi at a game at Yankee Stadium, and my father turned to me and said, be quiet. You can't boo a guy from Notre Dame.
Obviously a big Dick Lynch fan.
Yes, definitely. In my humble opinion, one of the all-time great Giants. I love Dick Lynch. He just had a marvelous career with the Giants.
And we
marvelous
miss him
career.
Terribly. Let me add that right now.
Yeah. Listen, you know, I missed the first couple of minutes of the show, so I don't know if Curtis Painter's name has come up yet in the discussion.
It has not.
Okay. From what everybody's talking about here with you know, Carr and Nassib, two quarterbacks, who's going to be the backup quarterback, et cetera. It seems like everybody is overlooking Painter, and it's okay, it's just a fact. I'm not going to argue for Curtis Painter here, but are we assuming that Painter's only on this team at this point because we're worried about whether Nassib is going to sign that contract or not?
I think that Painter is on this team to be an extra arm at training camp because they need some arms to throw the footballs to, or throw the footballs to the receivers. I don't see Curtis Painter as a viable roster competitor.
Well, I would agree with you on that. I mean, I'm solid with David Camp as the backup, Carr as the backup, and I just can't imagine that they're going to cut a fourth-round draft choice or somehow try to hide him somewhere. I just don't think that's. I think Nassib's on this roster, but I'm getting a little worried about both Nassib and Pugh having not signed their contracts. I mean, we're 10 days away from the start of training camp. You know, Tom is not going to be a happy head coach in the NFL. Either of these two guys are not there.
Len, they're going to get done, and what's going to happen with Pugh is he's going to wind up coming in at about 1.5, and it'll happen. It'll happen. The matter is guaranteed money right now.
That's what I figured.
He's concerned about being slotted in and getting as much guaranteed money as he can. One of the fellows around his slot got 90% guaranteed money, and another guy got a little more than that. And so he's like, I want to know what's my percentage. He was asking me the other day. He's like, what percentage guaranteed should I get? I said, look, you're talking to the wrong guy. I'm an announcer. Yeah. I'm not an agent. You know, that's not me.
Right.
The bottom line is they're just trying to fuss with how many thousands of dollars should be guaranteed in his deal. So they'll get that done. He's going to be here. Look, they drafted him to compete as the starting right tackle. Do you really believe that he's going to hold out?
Well,
I
didn't say he was going to hold out. I said I'm getting a little nervous as to whether or not that's the way it's going to be at
it's
that
not,
first practice.
It's not. Well, he's going to be here. Come on.
Okay.
And as far as Nassib, same thing. Nassib wants to be here too, and they'll get that thing squared away. Trust me on that.
Okay, let me just ask you one other question then about – so the way you see this playing out then, If Nassib signs, and let's assume he signs, all right, I'll go along with you on this. He's going to sign. Is Painter gone immediately, or do they carry four quarterbacks in camp?
There's a chance they carry four quarterbacks in camp because they need arms to throw.
Okay.
It's not unusual for a team to have four quarterbacks in training camp. And what will happen is that in all likelihood, Painter goes in the first cut, unless one of the other three guys gets hurt and they need him to stick around.
Yeah. I got you. That makes sense. I see us going with three quarterbacks, Paul, when the season starts. Nassib's the third quarterback.
They want to. I just don't know if they can.
He may not get a uniform all year, but he's going to be on the 53. He's on the 53.
Well, the good news, if he's on the 53 or if he's on the practice squad, which, again, I think is real risky business if you try to waive him to get him there, the bottom line is at least if he gets a uniform, he gets to practice this year. You know?
Or should I say,
he doesn't dress on game day.
Yes.
But point is, if you IR him, which, of course, is always an option, you know, we've talked about that before, the problem is he doesn't practice. And that's a lot of lost time.
Hey, real quick, let me just make mention of Joe Morrison. I know you talked about Joe. Just a great Giant. What'd you say, 13, 14 years with the Giants, number 40, terrific football player. Two things about him. He had it the day the Redskins beat the Giants, when they scored the 71 points against the Giants, 1966.
Yeah, George Allen ran it up.
Yep, he sure did. And if you look back at – no, actually, it was Otto Graham.
You're right.
Yeah, Otto Graham. They kicked the field goal with 2 seconds left in the game to put it at 71.
Yeah.
But if you look back at the stats for those games, Morrison had a terrific game that day. I mean, he really racked up yardage that day. And I remember this distinctly too, Paul. 1959, a kid out of Cincinnati, Joe Morrison. I saw him play his first pro game. Father got transferred to California. The Giants opened the season that year against the Rams in the Coliseum, 1959, a Saturday night. Morrison played, had a big night against the Rams, and I got all excited. I was an immediate Joe Morrison fan. Hey, Paul, thanks for taking the call.
Okay, Len, appreciate it.
We'll talk again. Take care.
Always
bye-bye.
Good to hear about the nostalgic players like Joe Morrison. And, you know, folks, if you weren't tuned in last week when I came in to co-host with John, we were talking about who was the most underrated player in Giants history. And, you know, I made my case for Joe Morrison. It was a very emotional and energetic case that I made. I think you could say that, right, Dan? And I'm not moving off of it. And that's just the way it is for me. You know what? I'm willing to take this thing to 11 o'clock. I'm going to give the phone number one more time, 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513, hashtag Giants Chat. All right, question today was, where should the Giants' David Carr rank amongst the NFL's backup quarterbacks? NFL.com says he should be number 21 in the league, which is an absolute joke. Tim Tebow is 17. They've got him behind Orton of Dallas, Cousins of Washington, and Foles of Philadelphia. I have no idea why. I believe Matt Hasselbeck of the Colts is perhaps the number one backup quarterback in the league. I don't think anybody would give me an argument about that. And I do think Kyle Orton's probably right up there, too. But beyond those two guys, I don't see how you could really put up an argument against David Carr. He's got to be top five or six. If you don't want to put him third, okay, fine. Maybe there are a couple other guys here that maybe you like Fitzpatrick from the Bills. Or the Titans now, of course. He used to be from the Bills. Maybe you really like Matt Castle with the Vikings. Maybe I'll give you one or two of those guys, but let's put it this way. There is no way, and I mean no way, you can bump Carr out of the top 10. I'm having trouble bumping him out of the top 5 or 6. How are you going to bump him out of the top 10? And NFL.com has given me David Carr as number 21. I mean, no. It's just wrong. Just wrong. 201-939-4513. It's 10:54, 6 minutes before the top of the hour here in East Rutherford at the Timex Performance Center as the Giants prepare for training camp. We've got one or two more calls I want to sneak in. I'll be glad to take them before we wrap things up. Once again, the Giants training camp schedule is out, and the first practice is on Saturday, July 27th, autograph day, Sunday, July 28th. Practice each and every day, folks, whenever they're available to practice. And, of course, go to Giants.com because you do have to check the practice schedule. There are a few off days sprinkled in there. Then, obviously, you get the days off around the preseason games, and there is a day off for travel when the Giants have to go on the road for the preseason. But understand that the practices will always be from 1:30 to 3:45 p.m. with the exception of one date, which you can see on Giants.com, Tuesday, August 20th. There is one late afternoon practice from 3:25 to 5:25. But other than that, it's a 1:30 practice, and the Giants will be on the field for approximately 2 hours. Sometimes Tom Coughlin will change the back end of the schedule just a little bit. You know, it might end at 10 or 15 minutes early. So, you know, plan to get here early enough to see the beginning of practice so you're able to see as much as you want to see, and you can pick out your dark horses for the Giants roster. But again, autograph day is Sunday, July the 28th. The Giants camp will officially end on Wednesday, August the 21st. That's the final day that you folks can actually come out and watch training camp, because after that, they begin preparing for the regular season. Dan, no more calls, huh? Oh, wow. Well, we got 5 minutes to go, so we'll just about wrap it up. Again, 201-939-4513. We'll get to one more if you could sneak it in. In the meantime, I will be here tomorrow and Thursday and Friday. So if for some reason you did get a chance to call in today, you were a little bit busy, you had to go to summer school, you had to go to your summer job, don't worry. Dottino will be back in each of the next 3 days, unless they cancel me after today's performance. I don't know, Dan. I don't think they will, but you never can tell. Never can tell. In any case, I will be back for each of the next 3 days. You got 4 days of PDOT here at the Timex Performance Center. I'm loving every second of it. Giants will be here on Friday the 26th for their physicals as they check in with Coach Tom Coughlin and then hit the practice field for their first practice at training camp again on Saturday the 27th. Do we have one more call? Yeah, one more call here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Dan's going to sneak one in just as we get ready to say goodbye. Again, the number is 201-939-4513. Write it down. Hashtag Giants Chat if you want to communicate to me on Twitter. And we will do this all again on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. All right, Dan, let's see. Let's see. Who do we have? We have somebody from Canastota, New York. Oh, Casanova. It's Casanova from New York City. You see, I thought it might have been Canastota, New York, which is the home of the Boxing Hall of Fame. Did you know that? How about that? We love to give all kinds of sports information on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Casanova, good morning. How are you?
Actually, me. I'm me, Tony. I called before.
Oh, Tony. Okay, Tony.
Yeah.
I didn't see you on the list, but we'll be glad to talk to you.
How's everything, man?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. Well, I just wanted to say one thing. Congratulations on Victor Cruz's contract. It's good to have him for 5 years.
Yep.
I mean, that's great.
Well, six.
I'm actually playing with Eli.
Okay.
And, huh?
Go ahead.
And I think, you know, I think that was a good wide decision, you know, because you don't want to have the same thing that would happen to Plexico Borges, you know. You want to keep one of your good slight wide receivers.
I could not agree with you more. It's a really good thing the Giants were able to get him signed up long-term, and hopefully they'll also be able to get Akeem Nix in the fold long-term, and these two guys will be able to put up some big numbers for Eli for many years to come.
Well, the most important thing is I want Akeem Nix to get healthy, you know, and that's the most thing part about it. But getting Brandon Marshall and Lewis Murphy is great.
Well, they don't have Brandon Marshall, but they do have Lewis Murphy. All right, Tony, thanks so much. Dan, we're going to sneak one more in. We got 2 minutes left in the program. This is going to be Steve from D.C. Hello, Steve. You're next on Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Hey, what's happening, Paul, man? Hey, thanks for taking my call, buddy.
Go ahead.
And listen, two quick questions. I know. First of all, I would have to say, I would have to go with Kyle Orton as the best backup.
Over Hasselbeck.
Yes, I like him over Hasselbeck. I always have. I'm not a Hasselbeck fan. Never have been. But then, quick question, where's Jason Campbell?
Jason Campbell on the NFL.com list, let me call it back up here, is rated number 15 on the backup list.
Okay. Well, hey, listen, you know, I like what we got going on. I hope we find a way to keep all three of our quarterbacks, meaning obviously Eli, Carr, and Nassib. But, you know, it'll be interesting to see. Great problem to have. Thanks for taking my call. I'll be checking you out later on during the week, Paul. Thanks
a lot. All right, Steve. Thanks so much for ringing us up. All right, 201-939-4513. Write down the phone number. We will be here all week long on Giants.com from 10 a.m. until sometimes 11. Depends on you, the fans, and how much you want to ask and how much you want to say in talking Giants football. I'm Paul Tatino, and this has been Big Blue Kickoff Live. So long, everybody.